Day FM.
It's that time of the week again, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the Dermot and Dave Show Best Of podcast. But not if you're driving. Definitely don't sit back. In fact, sit up now.
Well, come on in, Carl, and wreck the podcast intro. What are you doing?
Oh, you're doing that.
Yeah, we're doing the important stuff. This is the podcast intro.
Engineering nerds looking to get in.
Nerds.
Oh, no, not the engineers.
Like, we can't let them in willy-nilly. It's got to be controlled.
It's Willie and Shane.
Hello and welcome to the podcast intro. This is the bit of the show where we do a podcast and you listen to the whole best bits of the show, and we do an intro that's nowhere else. This is exclusive to this bit. It's the only place you'll hear
bonus material.
We should put this on Patreon.
Oh my God, good idea. Paywall.
50 quid a word.
Yeah.
Wow. In that case, let's say loads of words.
Let's increase the amount of words with which we speak.
Can you, is there something you can say with lots of words? Like, I've memorized raps over my life. Like, is there something you can do? Can you, like, remember Sean could do the counties of Ireland backwards or something like that?
I can, it's not words, but I can do the number from the IT crowd. You know, they were
placed. Oh my God.
It's 0118999 8819991197253. Three.
Exceptional.
That and being able to rap 99 problems are probably two of my only party tricks that I have.
Well, the phone number is enough, to be fair.
If I ran for the Rose of Tralee, which I can't do anymore because I'm too old.
Yeah.
I would have done that as my party.
That would have been your party. Piece.
What's the age limit on the Rose of Tralee?
28, I think.
Wow.
28 or 29.
You're so over the hill, Eimear. Like,
don't worry. I know. Fully aware.
Eimear, they're still the Caller Cosengas Housewife of the Year. You can try that one.
I'm very tidy. I don't think I'd be good at that.
Probably. So, Dermot, can you do anything wordy and impressive?
No. I could quote the entire script of With Nail and I.
Okay, well, we don't have time for that, but okay, that's impressive in its very nature. I can say a kind of a tongue twistery rap chorus in French that goes, Lisalo, Seli, Solar, Solamalas, Meles, Lisalio, Solar, Sosu, Salu.
Wow. Of course, it's in a foreign language, Dave. Of course.
Well, that's just one of the, yeah.
Danone.
Okay, guys, enjoy the podcast. Don't forget you owe us 50 quid for every word we said.
Send it directly to me, Eimear Shannon, today FM. Thank you.
We got a voice note in. See what you think of this.
Hi, Dermot and Dave. Quick question for you. Do you fall asleep with your eyes opened or closed? I've only discovered after 33 years of marriage that my husband can't close his eyes to fall asleep. He keeps them open until he naturally nods off. I think this is really weird, because when I get into bed and the lights are off, I close my eyes to fall asleep. Thanks, guys.
Yes, you think that's what you do and that he's really weird, because you're absolutely right. He's really weird. Who lies there with their eyes bolt open until, like, fatigue just seduces them to shut? No, one of my favorite things that I've ever thought about in life is the fact that to go to sleep, you need to pretend to go to sleep. Think about it. You get into bed, you pull the duvet up around you, whatever, you lie on your pillow, you close your eyes and you go, I am asleep now, even though you're awake, and then you go to sleep. Like, you preempt it with pretense, and then it happens for real. It's one of my favourite things about sleeping, is the bit where you pretend to be asleep.
But we do that all day long anyway, you know. Your missus is talking to you about something. You're pretending to be in the conversation. And then eventually it seems that you are in the conversation.
I think that this man, that there's something wrong with him. You can't be lying there in a darkened room with your eyes open and then have sleep come upon you. You've got to get into the sleep mode.
I think he's onto something, Dave.
I knew you were
going
to go.
No, think about it. Think about it. If you look at a baby when it's going to sleep, or a small child, they don't get into bed and do that pretense of pretending they're asleep. They get there and they lie on their back and they're like, rah, 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 and then eventually sleep takes over. He's just a big baby.
Yeah, but
that's what he's doing. And it would seem that it's quite a relaxed thing to do. You know, you'd imagine
just stare in the darkness with your eyes.
I would imagine, and I'm basing this just on, I don't have no information about this man.
Right.
But if he gets into bed and lies on his back with his eyes open and just waiting for sleep to come upon him, It sounds like it's been translated from Irish or something.
Yes.
Tá an tírse orm. But if he's just lying on his back with his eyes open, waiting for that sleep to descend upon him.
He's not in a poem. It's like he just has to get some kip.
It seems like he's quite a relaxed individual, to me, rather than sort of pulling the duvet over and going, I've got to sleep.
Who's angrily pretending that they're going to sleep? It's quite a calming thing to get in and snuggle down and find your right position. And
he's in touch with his inner child there, I think. He's a big baby, and he lies there waiting for the sleep to descend from the heavens upon him, to take him away to a sleepy town.
I think the listener, the lady, who has been duped romantically and relationshiply.
Do we know
duped,
her name at
no,
all?
No, she's a listener.
Oh, Anon.
Anon. Who has been duped by this man, who for 33 years of marriage has not revealed to her that he sleeps with his eyes open.
How could you not notice that? Like, you're lying beside every night for 33 years.
Yeah, how did that come up? We need more information, but we don't have it.
Like, surely, does she just roll over all the time and just have her back to him normally? Maybe that's it.
Or maybe,
does she ever just sort of lie there caressing him? Obviously not.
No, but maybe she's like, in my relationship, maybe she's the big spoon. Like, she's never seen, like, if he's like me and he's the little spoon, which is what happens in my house.
What, so you're spooned by your
I'm
wife?
I'm always little spoon, yeah. She's always, so she doesn't see my face.
Is little spoon in the front?
Yeah. I'm facing the bedroom and she's like, you know, close to my head. So she doesn't see my
eyes.
So
she's spooned.
Yeah.
So, is that normal?
I don't know. I don't
know. You say it's normal, pal? No, is it the wrong way around?
Why is it what's the right way around? Right way around.
Well, that you would be sort of cradling, you know, you're protecting.
Guys, I don't buy into gender roles, okay? I'm happy to. I actually love being a little spoon. Anyway, that's not the discussion. The discussion is whether or not the man who sleeps with his eyes open is weird or not. I'm definitely in the camp that it is very weird.
Everyone's just thinking about your spooning now, Dave.
It's very weird to wait for sleep to close your eyes when you should just get into bed, snuggle down, close your eyes, pretend to be asleep, and then you'll be asleep.
Or is there something really weird that your other half does in terms of sleep, or to get to sleep?
Mm.
Maybe in their sleep. Is there anything you've noticed?
You can let us know on 087-4100-102.
Maybe he's just started doing it. Maybe this is one of those weird COVID things. You know that COVID zomnia? Was that what they were calling it?
Yeah.
COVID somnia, yeah, the kind of lack of sleep that's been going around for
but
the last
while. The way that she worded it, and the listener worded it, was, I just found out that after 33 years of marriage, that he's been doing it all along, I think. I think that's what I'm inferring from it. But yeah, who knows? 087-4100-102. Drop us a text or a WhatsApp and let us know.
Thank you for using infer the correct way, Dave.
Oh.
I'm very appreciative of that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean the same as insinuate.
No, goodness.
It does not.
No.
Means to work it out from. Thank you, David.
From Little Mix on Today FM. How did she not notice, says Stevie? Because she has her eyes closed when that weirdo is looking at the ceiling. This is a voice note we got in from a listener who has revealed something terrifying about her partner of 33 years.
Hi, Dermot and Dave. Quick question for you. Do you fall asleep with your eyes opened or closed? I've only discovered after 33 years of marriage that my husband can't close his eyes to fall asleep. He keeps them open until he naturally nods off. I think this is really weird because when I get into bed and the lights are off, I close my eyes to fall asleep.
Yes, because you are normal and your husband is weird.
No, he's doing probably what's most natural to us. Someone says, my husband is the same, lies there with the eyes open until he falls asleep, always gets to sleep before me as well. And Dave.
Yeah, but sorry, he gets to sleep before you because you're freaked out by wide-eyed Jim. They're staring into space.
It's like what's the movie? Oh, I'll come to it. It's one of those animated films where, in fact, it happens in two of them. Two animated films. Mm-hmm. One of them is Croods 2, where the granny sleeps with her eyes open. Very funny movie if you haven't seen it. And the other one is that one about, is it called Luca?
Luca, yeah.
Yeah, the kind of Italian one where yeah, there's cycle the race and all that.
Yeah.
The granny in that as well sleeps with her eyes open under the sea. The same kind of... kind of weird. Maybe he's lying, says Dave, with his eyes open, worrying about some maniac sharing his sleeping habits on national radio. Good point, Dave.
That's possible. Someone just says, lads, he's a weirdo. Andrew's been on to us.
Lads, I have been sleeping with my eyes open since I was a youngster. In fact, I remember the first time I found out about it, I was at a sleepover with my mate in a tent. And he turned around and told me the next morning that he had a full-on 10-minute conversation with me. And then he realised I actually was asleep with my eyes open. So, not that weird, somehow.
I'm kind of envious because I have to wear a sleep mask. Like, if there's any bit of light, natural light or phone light or anything like that, it now affects me really, well, not really badly, sounds very dramatic, but it will affect my sleep.
So you now wear one of those, like...
Yeah,
silky.
Silk 50 Shades of Limerick silk eye mask. But actually, if you find that you're prone, particularly in the summer months or, you know, spring to summer, waking up kind of 5 a.m. around then, try a face mask or an eye mask. It'll, not a face mask, something else. Your skin is amazing. But it definitely helped me.
Niall's been on too.
Whelan, hang on now a second, all right? You're a guru of meditation. You're not going to tell me to get into a relaxed state of meditation. I'm going to sit there with my eyes wide open. So, you're in a room with a butterfly on your hand and your eyes are wide open. Relax. You have to close your eyes.
Yes, Niall. Thank you very much.
Technically speaking, Niall, there are many schools of meditation that would encourage you to keep your eyes open. You're just kind of softening your focus, picking a spot about 8 feet in front of you. So you can actually do that as well. You
know? Okay, well, still can't go to sleep that way. I have family whose eyes don't close. It's genetic. It's strange to see someone sleep with their eyes open.
At least I think the suggestion is that when her husband falls asleep, his eyes eventually sort of drift closed.
Yeah, it is different than the people who sleep with their eyes open, but it's still,
that is super freaky.
By the way, sorry, people like Linda are confirming that it's very normal for a man of my size and age to be the little spoon. Yes, that's normal, says Linda. My 6'9" husband is always the little spoon. He's 9 inches taller than me and he's the little spoon.
Well, I suppose, if some women might like that sensation of kind of hugging a big teddy bear as they fall asleep.
Oh, you think I'm a big cuddly teddy bear? Is that what you're saying?
I thought I'd be kind. Somebody says it's way too early to be talking about spooning on the radio.
Not at all, Shelley and Monaghan. It's totally fine to talk about it. We got a voice note in from a listener who discovered after 33 years of marriage that her partner sleeps with his eyes open, and freaked out is an understatement to say how she feels. Anya is on the phone this morning from Dublin. Hiya, Anya.
Good morning.
Are you a strange sleeper as well?
I would be. I'm a very strange sleeper, yeah.
What do you do in your sleep?
It ranges. I can sleep with my eyes open.
Right.
I shift. I cry. I laugh. I talk. And like that, I do a full volume. So, you know, everyone's asleep in the house and then I start roaring. And everyone's awake, you know.
Wow.
And the pastor's like, oh, here we go again. And I have two sons, and they basically do the same. So my partner's always giving out because, you know, me, my partner and myself and me, one of the other lads is in the same room. And, you know, we could be having a conversation with each other, like talking to each other, saying God knows what, you know.
So you're are you actually talking, though, are you both having separate dream conversations?
Separate dream conversations, but somewhere in the middle, like, we're chatting to each other, and then my partner's like, here we go again.
And do you remember anything that you've said, Anya?
No, I don't. But, like, my partner will tell me sometimes, you know, sometimes he'll remember and sometimes he won't, but there a while ago, not too long ago, I was asleep and like that out of nowhere, full volume, I just said, give that man a monkey.
Give that man a monkey.
Now, I would love to know what I was dreaming of. I was thinking of, you know, that thing where the Coca-Cola factory, and they're like, give that man a can of Coke. I was thinking to myself, was I doing something like that? My dream, giving everyone a monkey. Like,
isn't there, isn't there a Cockney rhyme somewhere for a monkey is some amount of money, like 500 quid? Yeah. Give that man a monkey. He's after, he's just fixed my refrigerator. Give him a monkey. I'm disappointed you can't actually remember the context. That'd be beautiful.
No, not at all. And like that, like my partner's often like woke me up and I'd be sobbing in my sleep and he'd wake me up. He's like, yeah, okay. I'd be like, why? What's going on? He's just been sobbing like, and I'm like, oh, really? I don't know.
And would you have tears and all like?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
It's like you have this sort of double life. So when you close your eyes at nighttime, just you experience all these other things that your yes. physical, normal, everyday self isn't aware of.
And even as a child, like I used to suffer with night terrors anyways. And my mom, like she used to say, I was like the Exorcist standing at the top of the stairs screaming and me sleep and everything, you know. But like as I got older, things just kind of got funny. And like all my friends and stuff, even with sleepovers, everyone would be like, watch her in her sleep, like, don't wake her up. And actually, my group of friends have a funny saying, don't wake the sleeping on you, because you just don't know what you're going to get.
Who you're going to get. Yeah.
And are you knackered or are you okay? Like, do you get it? Even though you're doing all this talking, are you getting a good night's sleep? Like,
well, I think so, yeah.
It's your poor partner I'm worried about. He's the one that has to deal with the shouting and roaring.
I do pity him. Like,
yeah, I'd love to see. Do you have a sleep tracker or like one of those Fitbits or anything?
I do now when I remember to put it on. But there would be like there'd be when I'm checking it, there would be a lot of awake periods in it. Like, so maybe that's when I'm talking. You know what I mean?
Like, I'd say your heart rate is probably up like at 120 as you're fighting with monkeys. Yeah.
Give that man a monkey. Anya, we'll never get to the bottom of what that was, but thank you very much for sharing with us today.
No problem.
See you later. Bye-bye.
I won't be dressing my dog up, if anybody is wondering. We put a Christmas jumper on him last Christmas. Yeah. You know, one of those little doggy Christmas jumpers. Yeah. He made an expression on his face that I have never seen ever before or after. Right. And it was so pathetic. And basically it just said, if we're going to do this, okay, but I'm full of shame and embarrassment. And his tail was down, his ears were down, and he walked really slowly. And I was like, I can't do this to you anymore, buddy. I can't do it.
Adele. Easy on Me, Dermot and Dave on Today FM.
I like that song, love Adele. I mean, she just bangs out those ballads for fun. Yep. Everyone's like, yay, we love it. But every time I hear that song, it just reminds me of that ad. You remember? Easy on the sausages. Easy.
No.
Do you remember that?
What's that about?
Does anyone, do you remember that? No? I think it was for like, oh, I don't know, it could have been Denny or Galtier.
I was going to say, it better be a sausage company.
Yeah, it was like...
It wasn't an ad for a Fiat Ritmo or something.
Sunday morning.
Okay.
Like, you know, fry being made up. Easy on the sausages.
What does that even mean?
Like, I can't remember.
Anybody have any ideas? 087-4100-102. David's been on to us about people in their sleep.
My little boy, Jake, was in bed last night. He's 7 years old. He had a blitz yesterday morning. And he was still playing, woke up in the middle of the night, still playing a match. Looked for a drink. Couldn't find the football. Fully awake, eyes wide open, but it looked like he was still fast asleep. Can't remember any of it. Look for the football and drink and everything in the middle of the game.
Good man. Neil, good morning.
How's it going, lads?
Not bad at all, you?
Not bad at all, yeah.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was grand.
Didn't do anything too exciting, though?
No, well, I was doing a bit of work on Saturday, and that was probably the height of it.
It was the exciting work and was the height of it. That's a great weekend altogether.
Neil, do you know what I'm very surprised about? It's Dermot here, and nobody yet has mentioned we're an hour and 15 minutes into the show that Man United lost again. Dave?
Sorry, did you say something? Yeah. Sorry, I was staring out the window there thinking about a weighted blanket.
You put the blanket over your head
I was weighted onto the ground. Yes, a 4-2 loss to Leicester. Yes, it was appalling. Yes. Neil, who do you support?
I'm a Chelsea fan, Dave.
Chelsea fan, yeah.
So. How are they doing, Neil?
Can't complain. Top of the table. 1-0 win against Brentford on Saturday.
So. Yeah, good survival of the last 20 minutes.
To be fair to Brentford, they showed up.
They absolutely did. They're a great side, yeah, and they put you under the cosh for the last 20 minutes, but you did a Chelsea on it and handled it.
Dave is always very supportive of Ole. Far more supportive, I think, than possibly he should be. But as a Chelsea fan, Neil, would you be happy if Ole stayed at the wheel for another bit longer?
To be fair, I think... I think for my own amusement and enjoyment, I think I'd enjoy it, but I can see where Dave is coming from.
Oh no, Dave is saying stay. I'm saying give Ollie to the end of the season, 100%. I don't want to see him out at all. Yeah,
but at the end of the season,
at the end of the season, that's when we assess it. So like whatever can happen now, sure he can lose this game, he can lose the last few games or whatever in the Premier League. I'm there with all the other United fans pulling my hair out, but I want to assess it properly at the end of the season when we see whether or not Ollie's managed to deliver trophies. Well,
and meanwhile, Neil and all the rest of the other team supporters will be just laughing at what's happening, and Man United fans' patience with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Neil, the S is OT for 700 quid. What do you think?
The saying is overly tenuous.
The saying is overly tenuous.
Anyone in particular?
The S is OT.
That saying itself. How meta of you.
You're not right, Neil. Sorry.
Alright, well, best
lads. Lovely to talk to you. Have a great Monday. Have a great week.
You too, lads.
Bye.
We got Sean, who's in Maynooth. Hello, Sean.
How are you, lads? How are you doing?
Sure, look it. Isn't that it?
Sean, you know that buzzer means you've just won a bright yellow Dermot and Dave Today FM Asher Look It, Isn't That It t-shirt.
Nice one, cheers, lads.
Hey,
you're on your way to Kildare Village. You're doing a bit of shopping?
Yeah, doing a spot of shopping.
Okay, so this is man shopping, is it? I bet you've got two or three items that you want to get, and by God, you're going to get them today because you're not going back.
Exactly.
Is it a military operation in, get them out, or will you do a bit of a browse?
I would do a bit of a browse as well.
You kind of have to, because their village is going to lend itself to a browse, in fairness.
Yeah, you don't be browsing for too long.
You do.
No, because I don't. If you're browsing, and maybe, are you the same as me, Sean? You go in, you've got reasonable amounts of energy, bit of optimism, little bit of a frisson of excitement.
Wow, a frisson.
That you're in the shop. And it's kind of like how a pear ripens, you know, like raw, you know, not ripe. Oh my God, too ripe.
Oh, right.
Shopping for me is like, oh, reasonably entertaining. Awful! It's just suddenly all your energy falls out of you and you realise, I don't want to be here, this is hell. No. Has that happened to you, Sean?
It does from time, yeah, definitely.
That's terrible. I love a browse.
So what are the things you're trying to pick up today?
New trainers. I like doing a bit of running, so I'm going to get some of that.
Great, functional ones. Even.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
easier to get.
You need to get fashion footwear is where you need to be, Sean. Go on, what else?
It's basically all running gear.
All right.
High-end stuff for running in the winter and stuff like that. So.
Ooh, nice one, yeah. It's tough to get that stuff because you don't want stuff that makes you too warm. I find if I'm out running, I hate it when I realise, oh God, I've too many layers on. No, not interested. No. Okay.
I find, Sean, if I'm out on a really, really long run, I find that I need to turn over in the bed and realise I'm having a dream and go back to sleep because it's not happening.
Well, Sean, happy shopping anyway, yeah, Sean. I'm kind of jealous of you now buying new sport running gear. Like, that's going
to
be great.
You don't need to buy a bright yellow t-shirt. You'll have that one boxed off. But tell us, what is the SSOT for 700 euro?
I think it's the subject is off topic.
The subject is off topic.
No, Sean.
Hard luck.
All right.
Sorry about that.
But remember, when you get the new runners, you're going to be able to run faster in them, just like when you were a kid.
Oh, absolutely. Especially with the t-shirts and all.
Yeah, you'll be flying. Come on, Sean. See you later.
Bye.
To Killarney now. Orla Salvador is there. Hi, Orla.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You working in a bakery?
I am. Ballyhard Foods.
What's the smell like there now?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, I do all the gluten-free vegan side and all the rest of the team are on the other side. All crumbles, apple pies, brownies, cheesecake.
Wow.
Anything you want. Yeah, it's lovely.
Give us the name of the place again.
Ballyhard Foods.
Wow, and our Emer would be down there now in a shot because she's a vegan and she just loves all that stuff.
Yes, it's really popular now. We just apply a lot around Kerry, so yeah.
I like it. I will always try it if I can get it because I find that a lot of that stuff doesn't leave you feeling like you've just eaten a pound of lead. You know, sometimes you can have a...
That's the reason why I want to use it.
It's not as heavy.
Orla, the SSOT, 700 euro. What do you think?
Scent on testers.
The scent is on testers. So you're thinking of like into a perfume area and the little pieces of paper.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that? And you know in shops when they give you the little strip of paper that they squirt something onto and then you smell it. And I think we have a capacity for three sniffs and then everything smells the same. You know? Yeah, you never, like Joe Malone, that place, you know, if you're trying to buy something for the missus or whatever and you're on like smell number 35, you're like, everything smells the same.
The first one.
Yeah, I think I got the first one.
The scent is on testers, or El Salvador is incorrect, I'm afraid.
No worries.
Have a great Monday.
Bye, you too. Bye.
See, someone says, oh my God, Dermot, that's so me. That's the best description of my shopping experience ever. So it's like, quite fun, interesting, it's drink. Terrible, get me out of here immediately, I'm dying. See?
You're on your own, and you and that person. I love browsing. It's one of my favourite things. Hunting for a bargain is what it's all about. Like, it doesn't matter if the jeans are size 47-inch waist. They're down to €8.
But you know, like, when you hear people go, oh, yeah, we were down in Kildare Village, we were there for the entire day. Or we were in town on Grafton Street, we were there for 7 hours. I think that's like someone telling me they've been to Nam and did 6 tours of duty.
No! Do you not remember? Did you ever go to New York and get on the bus and go out to New Jersey to the discount, like, shopping villages that Kildare Village is modelled on? So basically you get on a bus at Penn Station, you'd drive for an hour into some suburb of New Jersey, you'd get out and you'd be in this like Kildare Village on steroids, and like everywhere you go in it was just like
outlet stores,
yeah, 80% off everything, and like you'd come home with like, I had to buy suitcases in the place. And we would go out there at like the first bus was at like 6 a.m. and we'd get the last one back in at about 8 o'clock at night, laden down with suitcases. It was the best crack.
Oh, awful hell.
No.
I mean, it would be fun, like I said, for a little while.
You don't want to go out there,
like,
for
if
a
you were
little
down
while.
At 6 a.m., 7:20, I'm done. I'm hitching back into town.
A lot of people are identifying with German shopping experience where it's all fine for a few minutes and then it descends into hell.
Well, the problem is that there's no sort of soft transition. You don't realise you need to get out of there until it's too late. And all the energy's been drained out of you. And you start walking around the shop looking for a seat, like a pensioner.
maybe
too far.
Maybe you need what this person says, which is, when shopping, I hit a quota. Then I need food and coffee ASAP, or we have to go home. So maybe what you need at that point, when it hits you like a brick wall, is to go, right, drop here, you hold this, I'm going to get a coffee.
Constant snacks. That could be the secret, Dave.
Possibly.
But the problem is, by the time you realise you're starving, then you're queuing for cafes. Can't be doing it.
No.
I was doing it yesterday. Who
I'm going to sit back, lads.
Who decided on how cafes are set up? Okay? And who said, okay, that's the way?
What are you giving out?
Because I think that they're set up all wrong.
Okay.
Most of them.
Right.
So I was in a place yesterday, right? And I had the usual thing. You get your tray and you start going along and there's savoury snacks and there's cakes and all that kind of stuff. Great, I'm up for that.
Okay, cool.
Then you wheel all that around to the till, and at some point near the till you order your coffee, and then there's one guy on the coffee machine.
Yeah.
What takes the longest in a cafe?
Making some fancy coffee, yeah.
Except they always have just one person doing coffees, one little machine. And so everybody's held up by the coffee. So even if you just want a quick in and out, you don't even want coffee. You're going to be stuck behind all the coffee people.
Yeah.
And then there's another queue over by the coffee machine, clogging up the cafe, all waiting to get their coffees. And the barista is always stressed out of their mind, thinking, why is there only one of me?
Okay, I hear you. Yesterday,
yeah,
I was in the place where there was a solution to this.
Tell me.
I was in Sea Point Rugby Club.
Which
I know.
The king of cafes.
The reason I was there is it's in Cavintilly Sports Grounds, wherever. So Cavintilly have brilliant. They've got rugby, they've got Gaelic, they've got soccer all in one place. And my son was playing an under-13s match against Cavintilly. So I went into the cafe and saw the queue and went, oh, here we go. At the top, I'm going to be like, you Dermot, you know. So there was a lady doing that. But then the man came out from behind the kind of bar area and went to the next person, what can I get you? And they went, oh, I want a coffee. And he said, fine, she'll be with you now in a second. What can I get you, sir? And he went, I'll have a Calippo and a Twix. And he went, okay. And he went and got the credit card machine and went, 350, bip, and your man walked out. And then I went.
So he was served in the queue.
In the queue.
You see, that's what I'm talking about.
But then he came to me and I was like, oh, I want a cup of tea. It's presumably at the still the coffee lady. And he went, I said, so I just want to look for a cup of tea. And he went, oh, and he walked out behind the bar, came back with a cup of tea. And went, here you go. And I was like, oh my God, beep. And I walked away with my cup of tea out of the coffee queue. They even segregated the coffee and the tea.
You see, if a rugby club or sports, whatever that is, can do this, why can't these big cafes get it? Like, there were three cake girls, three people on cake. They're all standing me. I got asked three times that I want cake. I was like, I've said the cake. We've got the cake. It's boxed off.
I don't believe it.
But then the coffee guy, halfway through the coffees, he just heads off. And I go, where the hell is he going? Now nobody's moving. Nobody's moving at all. He's the linchpin. And then he comes back from some storeroom carrying bags of coffee beans. And I'm thinking, surely one of the 50 cake girls could have got you your beans. So, cafes, work this out.
Victor Meldrew will be back after the ad break to give out about something else.
I'll be meditating for the next 20 minutes.
Actually, you'll be happy. After this ad break, we are playing your favourite song in the world. Elton John and Dua Lipa, Cold Heart.
Yes!
Is happening. And after that, we will speak to...
You'll have to wait, though, 25 minutes, because someone's ordered a latte, no. Even though you just want a Calippo and a Twix.
Do it evenly in parenting in a minute, too. Dermot, you were ranting and raving about coffee earlier on. You think all coffee shops are designed incorrectly. I was saying that the rugby club I was in yesterday out in Cabinteely in their football club had it all perfect. Someone says the same with the Goat's Gruff. At Strawberry Beds, so simple. A lovely guy asked for my order while I stood in the queue, and by the time I reached the hatch to pay, I was handed my coffee. There's another.
So there you go.
It's kind of like, to be fair, it's kind of like the Starbucks thing. Like, I know people queue at the end of the thing, but at least in Starbucks, you order your coffee, and then you get out of the queue until your coffee's ready.
But it's still too late. You still have to go through, if people are queuing up for sandwiches, it's backwards, basically.
No, Starbucks, though, no, you don't have to wait for the Starbucks, you go up and you say, I want a venti grande latte. And they go, yeah, grand, go down
but
there.
But you could still be queuing, but walking by all the sandwiches and pastries before you get to the till to order your coffee. By that stage, it's too late. Now you're waiting over to the side. This is the way a cafe should look, right?
Okay, here we go, here we go.
So
we
you
go.
Walk in.
Yeah.
And it's basically everything as it is now, in reverse. So you should have double the baristas for a start. So two baristas at the very start.
Right.
So the first thing you should do is order your coffee. So they're making it while you're off doing all the other stuff and getting the slice of cake and putting it on the plate and do you want a fork and cream with that and then they pay and your coffee's ready. There's no point waiting until you're at the till with a tray full of food and then saying, can I have four cappuccinos, please? So all the people behind me can wait another half an hour.
I have another solution, which is bring your own coffee in a keep cup.
How about this? Dermot Dave, I used to live in Melbourne, Australia for a while, and my favourite coffee shop used to go back along the queue to get your drinks order so that your food and coffee was all ready together. Two baristas giving it socks.
Right.
See that?
Yeah,
two baristas. Yeah. One just doing espressos, the other just doing milk. There you go. They even asked how many sugars you liked and added it to the start to avoid people gathering at the end, dawdling over their sugar packets and wasting time with lids. Pure efficiency. Yes, that's what we're looking for. Like, we're clever people. You know, we can do this. We can make it
just
work.
Just small worries you have, young Whelan. Just small worries you have. Come here, lads. I'll tell you what. There may be something bigger you're worried about. Income tax, property tax, the budget. Where's your money going and how do you make sure you're not paying too much out? I'd be so guilty of not checking whether I'm paying too much out. Tomorrow on the show, we'll be joined by Mairead O'Driscoll. We've had on the show before. She's known as the tax nerd. She knows everything there is to know about tax. She'll be answering all your questions on all things tax. So get them in now on 087-4100-102. Or if you haven't got time now and you want to email later on after the show, dermotanddave@todayfm.com. But any question about tax at all, and then join us from 9 tomorrow. We'll get some good advice from Mairead, who will solve your tax problems and will not solve your coffee problems. I'm sorry.
It's not just the coffee shop. People are jumping in about how badly organized their chippers are. We'll get to those after 11 o'clock.
Also, we're going to do the Laugh a Minute quiz after 11 o'clock, which we definitely need with grumpy pants here, in fairness.
We do another text about queuing.
Go on, so one more, yeah.
Rod says, I'm with you, Dermot. It's like when you go to the chipper and are just waiting on a single of chips. The five people ahead of you are all waiting on smoked cods, quarter pounders, snack boxes, etc. Dave is getting hungry now, says the desk.
Yes.
Why can't they call you to the top of the queue, as the chips take less time to cook and it will reduce their queue?
No.
I've always wondered that.
You're wrong.
Chips, I'm just in for a bag of chips. Why do I have to wait as long as the person who's getting seven smoked cods?
Why does the person who's getting seven smoked cods have to suffer because you want just chips, you
cheapskate?
Why do they
have to suffer?
Because you're taking their fresh chips. From them, and they're now just hang on. You can have the slightly colder chips because one chip wonder here needs to be served first. No, get out, Rod and Dermot. Queue at the back of the chipper.
Sometimes they're too precious about their chips. Just keep the chips on. Just keep making chips. Stop going, oh, look, the batch is empty. I better put on some more chips that take 40 hours.
Foodwaste.eu wants you to
put on the chips. Keep the chips on.
That's Becky Hill and David Guetta. Dermot and Dave, it is Today FM. That's one of the songs Maria definitely wants to hear on the dance floor for her wedding. I'm DJing her wedding and she's like, every now and again, she'd sing a song. I go, I really like that song, Dave. And I go, do you want me to include that one? Yeah, put that one on.
You better not affect Maria's wedding, Michal Martin. We're watching you. All eyes are on you.
My eyes yesterday were on the movie screen, Dermot. I went to see Dune.
Yes, I've been driving past the big movie poster every morning and it looks tremendously exciting.
It is, because I don't know if you remembered the original Dune movie in 1980. It's a Frank Herbert novel, series novel.
So something to do with David Bowie.
No, Sting. Sting was in Dune.
But was it not David Bowie's son or something to do with Dune? Somebody, Ian Dempsey would know because he knows what David Bowie had for breakfast on the 3rd of December 1972.
0874101002 if you know if there's a Bowie connection with Dune. But certainly Sting was in it. Patrick Stewart was in it. What's your man's name? Is it McLaughlin or something? Kyle McLaughlin was the main dude. Anyway, that's 84. The new one is out now. The cast is unbelievable. The movie is incredible. It's like a mixture of the newer Star Wars stuff.
Mm.
So like on...
Oh, like Rogue One and stuff?
Yeah, so like this kind of distant desert planet and all this kind of stuff. So there's a bit of that involved. Then there's a bit of like, is he the one? Like the Matrix, there's a bit of that going on. There's a bit of Lord of the Rings kind of magic-y stuff happening. And then there's like swords and lasers and just epic adventures. It's honestly, I really, really enjoyed it. Took my 11-year-old, I mean, 12-year-old is 12 days. Took my soon-to-be 12-year-old next month. He really enjoyed it as well. And like the cast, right? So
you just love every movie you go to. You know that if you had gone in there and looked at this, if the cinema was closed and just looked at the wall, you'd say it's the best movie you've ever seen.
You know, I went to see some movies recently and I may publicly have said they were great. But right, anyway, Timothy Chalamet is the main dude. Zendaya is in there as his kind of love interest, but she's not really in this. See, it seems to be a part one movie, and there's a part two coming, and I don't know, possibly a part three or a part four.
Right.
So it's like it's the beginning. So the whole movie...
Does it leave you feeling unsatisfied and waiting for the next part in 3 years?
Yes, but not unsatisfied. It left me going, oh, I cannot wait for the next one, but not like, oh, this didn't really get
you
going.
You like Lord of the Rings. You see, you like chapters.
Yeah, I do. Rebecca Ferguson, Jason Momoa, Oscar Isaac, Stellan Skarsgård, Javier Bardem, Dave Bautista. You like him from the Marvel movies, that big, muscly wrestler dude.
Oh, yeah.
He's very funny.
Yeah, he's great.
Like, honestly, yeah, it's a great movie. Josh Brolin's in it as well. I really, really enjoyed it. And not sure when it's out. I probably shouldn't know that, but it's great anyway.
Dune. D-U-N-E, as in a sand dune type
thing. That's it, yeah, and there's lots of sand in it, and that's deadly. Bernard O'Shea was just in talking to us about cinemas and the rules he doesn't like. A lot of people are suggesting Bernard should not go to America. Ask Bernard, did he ever go to the cinema in America? Full takeaway service like McDonald's. And someone else says, geez, lads, never let Bernard go to Canada or America. You can get pints and chicken wings and full-on meals brought to your chair before a film starts.
I don't think that you should be serving chicken wings because you just know everyone is wiping their hands on the seat.
And slurping the juice, the juice off the chicken.
But I would be definitely into more of a meal type experience. I'd love a burger and chips.
Someone says one time we took a Chinese takeaway into the cinema, stank the place out.
Well, do you remember when we were doing breakfast?
Yeah.
We would often be able to go to screening sort of at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. You know, straight after the radio show, and obviously we would have had breakfast since 5, so we'd be starving. So I remember going in, we brought in Egg McMuffins into one of those screenings. And they're like, it's not for the public. They're just like serious journos with their pads. And
it's also
that.
In a really small, like private screening place where they say there's 12 seats. It's like a rich person's cinema room is what it's like. So
we brought Egg McMuffin meals in under our jackets. And then we started eating them. And then we realized, oh my God, these things stink. And everyone, the serious journalists were like, this is terrible.
I write for the Irish Times.
This isn't for fun. This is for serious.
This is art. How dare you eat a McMuffin? Siobhan and Galway says, hi all. Tea in the cinema is an absolute must. I always bring in a cup of tea and a takeaway cup to have my popcorn and sweeties. Well, I know in the, what's the one we go to in Smithfield? The Lighthouse.
Yeah.
They have a proper coffee dock in the place.
It's great to bring tea or coffee in because it lasts for ages. The problem with like sweets and those drinks is that but by the time the trailers are over, most of it's gone.
Not the drinks. I got one last night when I went to see Dune, and the drink was about the size of four people. I didn't know where to put it in the thing.
The Dave Moore big gulp.
Yeah. People in their Tato bags, shut up. Split the bag already, says Les. You can't be splitting the bag. Where could you put it? In your lap, and you'd knock it off and the film goes dark. You've got to ruffle.
It can't be crinkling every time you put your hand in.
I was crinkling last night because I got the nachos and the cheese that Werner was talking about. I got them yesterday in the cinema. So the nachos are obviously louder than popcorn when you're crunching them. But like the metal, like the light metal lid that was on the cheese kept flapping back, and I'd hit it with the nacho to get it to go away. And the guy beside me was just like, clank, clank.
And also in the dark, because they, like, I don't understand. Has anyone in a cinema ever eaten a jalapeno pepper?
Never.
Because, like, a few jalapenos and something add a bit of a kick. A mound means you have to go to hospital. And you know when you're sticking the nacho in, but you can't actually see anything. So it's like scoop and hope. You don't know whether you're going to get the fake cheese or a mouthful of jalapenos.
Well, as I was at the cinema, sister, a couple of years ago, and we were seated waiting for the film to start, a girl came into the row behind us and dropped her nachos and cheese on my sister's head. It stuck everywhere. And my sister went ballistic.
So great. Your poor sister.
Any more cinema stories, you can let us know on 087-4100-102. But right now, we must tell you.
Can we get just, because I don't know why, but people dropping food on other people seems to be really funny. So if you've any stories of either someone dropping food on you or you doing it to someone else, let us know.
In fairness, I wouldn't even need to do bad jokes today. I could just keep laughing at the texts that are coming in on 087-4100-102 about people dropping things. My brother was sitting beside an older man at an All-Ireland final. He started shouting at the ref while looking in my brother's direction, and his false teeth flew out of his mouth and landed on my brother. My brother nearly got sick. The man didn't speak for the rest of the game. He stuck his teeth back in and said nothing.
Dave's world. If we don't let him do it, he gets ratty.
Just caveat now, there'll be nothing as funny as that in Dave's fan jokes here. But do you remember last week, Andrew Louth, who is our US politics expert, sent us a joke and I kind of messed up at playing back and I got it all wrong. He sent another one. This one is not a call and response bad joke. It's just one line from Andrew Louth. Here we go.
I wish my flight had historical racist tweets so I could feel better about it being cancelled.
Did you get it?
Sort of.
Okay, prepare yourself for a cuteness overload. This is Isla, who's messaged all the way from Canada.
Gay's world, Gay's world. If you don't let him do it, he gets ratty. Hi, Dave. My name is Isla Suen, and I am from Vancouver, British Columbia, BC. My stepdad is Irish, and I have a joke for you. Hope my joke makes it onto your podcast. Who is the scariest singer in the world? Michael Bublé.
That's a great joke. Thank you, Isla. Welcome to the show.
Okay, other jokes. Where are my jokes gone? Hang on, I've got the hit buttons here.
They've been deleted. No.
Everyone says, Barry, everyone's complaining that there's Christmas stuff in the shops already. That's nothing. They're selling birthday cards in my local shop, and my birthday's not till February. Lorraine says, I was thinking of removing my spine. I just feel like it's holding me back. Philip says, anyone else having problems with nuisance phone calls? The most common one I seem to get is, hey, Philip, you said you'd be home from the pub 3 hours ago.
Spam.
Sheila says, the ancient Egyptian architect said to the ancient Egyptian builder, do you know how to build a pyramid? The builder replies, well, yeah, up to a point.
He's right.
Tony says, I was offered the job as a delivery driver for my local fruit and veg store, but I had to turn it down. The salary was shocking.
Annual salary.
Mark says, I said to my wife in bed last night, do you have to scratch during our special time? She said, shh, I think I want a tenner. Kieran says, Durham might like this joke. I always want to be a Gregorian monk, but I never got the chance.
Oh.
Hey, there.
I do. I like Gregorian monks.
Yeah, you're a monkey. You're monkey.
What's the chance? You never got a chance.
Just chance.
What?
It's about meditation.
Chant. Oh. Chanting.
Oh, sorry.
That's the joke.
I thought it was something.
Never got a chance.
No, have it.
Stu says, people love OK Computer by Radiohead, but nobody seems to use the record's full title, which is OK Computer, take away two random wrong answers, leaving us the right answer and the one remaining wrong answer. Irene says, the best thing about the 15 cent plastic bags is that the press beside my sink is now worth 182,384 euro. Peter says, Dave, you need a northern...
He doesn't get it. All the plastic bags are stuffed in there.
So many plastic bags.
Oh, yeah.
Peter says, you need a northern English accent. I've got a kind of a generic mix of all them. I'd like to congratulate my niece on passing a mouth organ exam. Well done, harmonica.
Yes.
Oh, so many to get through so little time. Okay, what do we do? I'll do two more. Neve says, I was chatting to a spider at the gym earlier talking about workouts. He said he hates Tuesdays because it's leg day. And finally, from Sarah, she says, everyone's talking about Adele with the release of her album next month, 30. Personally, I'm looking forward to Adele's album 43, which will include the hits Do You Ever Feckin' Listen, What's For Dinner, I'm Not Making Pasta Again, and It's Here in the Drawer Where I Told You It Was.
Laughing at your I spilled something on someone text.
Yeah.
My dad was once in Eddie Rockets, sitting in a booth with a family of four, two small kids, behind him. The customer before him must have forgotten to screw the ketchup lid on, or intentionally. So when my dad went to shake the ketchup, it shot up in the air and splattered all the family behind. Oh, kids crying and everything.
I was at an Ireland match at the Aviva with my wife and kids, sitting beside a man. He had his phone in one hand and a hot dog in the other. Ireland scored. He went wild and threw his phone instead of the hot dog. His phone landed on the pitch. We still laugh at it today. Amazing. There's another one. This is incredible. I was in the cinema in Galway, it says. Where is this?
Yeah, I've got one. Sorry, at a friend's 40th birthday party, I spilled a pint of Guinness on her designer dress. She was horrified when I offered to suck off the Guinness so it wouldn't be a complete waste. As I'm a woman, this did not go down well. But, you know, you can see in your panic of, oh my God, I'm so sorry, let me suck it off.
That's so bad. I was in a cinema in Galway years ago and I kept wondering why the lady in front of me would throw her head back and leave out a yelp every few minutes. I thought maybe she had a tic or something, until I realised my 3-year-old son had hold of her hair and was swinging out of it every few minutes. I apologised profoundly, but the poor lady was too scared to say anything.
I accidentally set fire to a girl's hair in Matt the Miller's in Kilkenny, Jesus, carrying lit sambucas back to a table from the bar and got shoved into the crowd. She must have had hairspray in. As soon as it lit, the sambuca hit. It went up in a second.
Oh, God.
I had to pat down her hair. She was sound out, all things considered.
All things considered. Her burnt hair considered. You want to get in touch with us today? 087-4100-102.
Well, Rory did. He's in Kilkenny. He's on the line. How are you?
How you doing, lads?
Not bad at all. What's going on with your kitten?
So he was persuaded to have this kitten. And then his name was Gingernut. After a couple of weeks, we named him Nutty.
Right. Is he a little bit off the charts?
Oh, he's unreal.
So what's he been up to?
It's every Monday, lads. For some reason, it's a Monday night. He disappears.
Right.
He just vanishes. Now, I don't know whether it's because my partner's lost the bingo on a Monday night, because he follows her around like a lost lost kitten, if you like. He really does follow her around. But every Monday, he disappears. We've had calls from the shop, the local shop.
Oh, they found him, like?
He's been in the shop, up on the shelf, and we've had to go down and retrieve him.
Right, right.
He was effed out to the gym, the local gym. We got a phone call from the local pub. Can you come and retrieve your kitten? He's laid up on my settee. Twice from the pub.
Right.
And then this morning, she got a phone call. Your kitten is in our classroom here, and he won't get out.
In the school?
In the school.
He wants to go to school. Just let the cat go and
he's
learn.
He's been to the school once. He wants to go to the pub. He's been there twice.
Yeah, he's only 7 months old.
So he's only a baby, and he's literally heading off. And how far away from the town, like, where all these things are you?
Well, that would be in about 2 kilometre radius.
Jeepers. It's a lot but for a seven-month-old cat to be travelling.
We've had phone calls from all over the place. A young girl rang there, put it up on, because my partner put it on Facebook, if anyone's seen this kitten the first time he went missing. And she said, oh yeah, he's in my back garden here. And that was at least a kilometre away. And he was about 8 weeks old, 9 weeks old at the time.
So he's definitely an outdoor cat. He likes to get out and explore.
Oh, absolutely. He seems to get, he gets to these places, lads, but then he can't get back.
Yeah, that's definitely the issue.
Is there anything you can do for that? And what's the advice?
Yeah, we've had him snipped, and he's had all his injections and that, but he's still off on the rant.
There are those terrible things you can get that are like collars that deliver a really low voltage shock when go beyond a certain thing. But like, in reality, like, I tried that with my dog one time and she just leapt through the pain and got free. So it sounds like Nutty would have no problem getting past that, in fairness to him.
Oh, he's just clever. I mean, I had a cat when I was a child and we bought him a collar with a bell on to stop him from catching birds. And I sat there in the garden watching him one day just turning his neck and pushing the collar around into the fur at the back of his neck.
So that the bell wouldn't ring.
So it didn't ring, yeah.
Genius.
Is that what those bells are for?
Yeah, the bells are there to stop them from catching the birds.
I had no idea. I just thought it was like a pretty thing you put on cats. Wow.
Every day's a school day.
Every day is a school day.
Absolutely.
Particularly for Nutty.
What do you think about Nutty then? Are you going to try and curb his adventure or let him just do whatever he wants? Everyone obviously in the town knows Nutty and knows to ring you.
He's a local celebrity.
And where are you in Kilkenny?
In Kiltown.
Well, you better describe Nutty, because it sounds like everyone's going to meet him at some point.
He's a little ginger and white Tom, with the biggest ginger eyes you've ever seen in your life. They're proper orange.
Oh, right.
And he's got like a dirty smudge on his nose. That's not orange, it's like a grey colour.
Right.
But he answers to Nutty, and his tail is always in the air.
Okay.
Now, upright. Perfectly upright, like a stanchion.
Okay.
I think stick a GoPro on him and just embrace it.
Let him go for it.
See what he gets up to.
Oh, he's unreal. I've been trying to find out where you can actually get these little chips put in them that have the GPS on them.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Then you can keep a track of him.
Yeah, so instead of like, find my iPhone, find my cat.
Find Nutty.
Absolutely, if someone could invent one.
Well, I think my feline.
I think Dermot's into it. If you put the GoPro on him and then just uploaded that feed straight to TikTok, you've got one of the biggest TikToks in Ireland, I'd say.
He's unreal. We adore him. I mean, he couldn't have a better home with my partner. She's animal mad.
Just as well as she's animal mad, because he sounds like a mad animal.
So he's absolutely crazy.
Match made in heaven.
Rory, thanks a million, man.
Lovely to talk to you.
Man.
All right, see you later.
Day.
You too.
We'll
bye.
You
bye. There's Rory telling us the story of Nutty in Kilkenny, who was just off venturing and going all about his business. So Gus and Kerry is disappointed, though, Dermot.
Mm.
I did say before the song that we were going to speak to the maddest cat, or speak about the maddest cat in Ireland.
Yeah.
And Gus wanted Brian Cody to be on the show, but unfortunately, they were talking about Nutty instead.
We couldn't get him. No, we put Nutty on instead.
Vinny says that feline needs a cat nav.
Cat-nav!
Get it?
Love
Very
it.
Very good. Any more reaction to Nutty, the mad cat, you can let us know on 087-4100-102.
Maybe you reckon your pet is nuttier.
Yeah.
Ever gone off on a journey, on an adventure?
Wasn't there the story, was it 2 weeks ago, or less than 2 weeks ago, there was a dog that got on the train somewhere in Ireland and ended up in Houston Station. Just went on a journey into town. This happens. Now, we're just talking to Rory there about his cat, Nutty, who is 7 months old, but is wandering all around Kilkenny, where they live, and going into the pub and the school and the gym and other people's back gardens. He just won't stop. Surely Nutty should be called D-Nutty. He's been fixed after all. Very clever. There's something called Tappy Tag, someone says. You tell Rory to check it out. I saw something on Instagram. It's a tag for pets. A lot of people pointed out you could just get one of those, you know, the tile things. That's a little kind of, you know, locator on your phone. You just basically, the tile tells you where it is at any one time. If you stuck that on the cat's collar, then you could just track where the cat is and what it's doing. But by the sounds of things, I'm not sure Rory needs that, because the whole community is just ringing him up, telling him where Nutty is. So,
and it's a great way to get to know the neighbours, in fairness, when your cat goes in. My dog Buddy has this thing with the next door neighbours. They are the most patient people in Ireland.
Right.
Because Buddy is convinced, my neighbours are the nicest people you could ever meet.
Yeah.
Have never been anything but friendly to Buddy since he arrived.
Right.
And Buddy is constantly trying to get out the back because he thinks that they're up to something.
Right.
So he goes flying out the back door, like kills himself trying to get out the back door. Won't wait for you to open it properly.
So he's banging his nose.
He jams his head into the gap and then falls out the door. Flies down to the bottom left-hand corner where you're meant to be building my new studio.
This will be discussed at a later date.
And flings himself into the wall, like hurls himself into the wall to the point where he injured his paw. And he's like, rawr, 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 what are you doing over there? What? And now, of course, the side gate got open yesterday. So he was straight in. And if he ever gets out of the house,
that's where he goes.
He bolts in next door, goes into their back garden, goes up to their conservatory, and barks his head off at them in their own house. As in, what the hell do you think you're doing here?
Do you think
how they have not called the guards on me? I don't know.
You know, they say the dogs have a sixth sense. I mean, do you think your neighbors are up to things that we don't know?
They're like
about
the nicest people ever. And he's like, rawr, rawr, in his head, you guys know what you're doing in there. You're going to kill. I'm going to eat all of you. And they're like, hiya, buddy. Hiya.
Have they ever met him on the street? Like, has he?
That's the weird thing. If they're over the wall, right, and he knows they're there, he's like, let me at them, these people. They're murderers. I got to get them. But if I pick up Buddy so he can see over the wall and they're standing there, he's like wagging his tail and they're petting him. Oh, Buddy, put him back on the ground. You know what you've done. Well, maybe, you know what you've done.
Maybe you and the neighbours are misinterpreting his language. Maybe he's not saying, I know what you've done. Maybe he's saying, I don't want to be with the Whelans. Let me into your house. He's back at the conservatory going, please, please, oh no, they're taking me again. Please, oh Jesus, oh no. So who knows?
But it's so funny. He does like a full perimeter check as well when you let him out. Like, he'd obviously fling himself against the wall to see what they're doing.
Right.
But then he'll go right around and he's, you know, when is it their heckles? Is that what you call it?
Oh yeah,
So his fur standing up, he's like, it does this weird and goes around all the perimeter of the garden, like just making sure there's no pixies or gnomes or whatever the hell he's seeing.
Are you sure your dog's okay, Dermot? I'm just a bit worried about him. Jess says, Dave, you might remember there was a local Portmarnock dog that used to make his way into Tomangos. Yes, I've only been to Tomangos a few times, even though it's literally right beside my house, but the two times or three times I was in there, there was a dog in Tomangos, and he used to come in every night and have a bit of crack.
They recommend that for the workplace, you should bring in your pets. Like, pets enhance the mood, sense of well-being, happiness, fulfillment in a workplace. They've done studies on it, and the presence of a pet at your work can really boost mood and morale and work motivation and everything. Why don't we have our pets in here?
Well, see, this is where the issue arises. Like, is there not supposed to be an office dog as opposed to everyone bring in their pets? Like, that could be carnage, because...
No, apparently places do it. I'm sure there's people listening now.
I don't want Buddy in here by the sounds of things.
Hang on a sec. Buddy is mostly friendly, except for our neighbours. Your dog, however, tries to eat me.
It's, again, dogs have a sixth sense. My dog loves everyone except you. And I'm just saying.
I saw him eat a Venetian blind. I saw her eat a Venetian blind trying to get to me through glass.
Yes, she did do that. But then when you get in the house, she only wants to sniff.
Then she does that weird thing with her teeth. Oh,
that noise she makes.
Oh, and then she shivers and her teeth bang together.
Anyone who has a skinny dog.
they'll know that that's what's happening. Johnny says Dexter was a good neighbour too, Dermot, just saying.
Yeah, and great if you needed him to cut up a fillet for you or something.
Absolutely.
T-bone.
Fear's helpful. Yeah. Any more dog or cat stories, you can let us know on 087-4100-102. Oh, throw a bad joke in, Dermot, about your bringing pets to work and all. Did you know that over 30% of pet owners sleep with their pets?
Mm.
And it again brings them a lot of comfort and the pets love it too. I tried it with my pet, but my goldfish hated it.
Hey!
Jokes, guys.
Someone says, lads, try being a postman in a post van.
Oh, stop.
If it's any other van, the dogs are okay with them. Life of a postman.
You see, we've talked about this before. What happens to dogs with postmen is postmen come to the house, but you never let them in. So they don't trust the postman because everyone else who comes to the house, you open the door, you chat to them, they might come in, they might come out, but they see you interacting with it. But the postman comes up, does something every day, and then you never let him in.
Would it be really weird to invite your postman or woman in for a cup of tea? Has anyone ever done it? Is it weird if you're a postman and someone says, would you like to come in for a cup of tea?
Yeah, I think I've seen a few movies about that, Dermot.
Pat Mustard.
Those women were in the nip.
I'd love to know if you're a postman. Have you ever been invited in for a cup of tea and a chat? Like, does it annoy you that you never get past the threshold? Would you like to have a deeper bond with your customers?
Dermot needs to investigate this, apparently.
Let us know. 087-4100-102. Maybe you've invited, like, the milkman, the postman, everyone in for a chat.
But then you're in the situation where you have to give them stuff for Christmas. No one wants to be in that situation.
Sure, I was in your house for a cup of tea. Where's my bottle of whiskey?
You were asking whether post people ever get invited indoors.
Yeah, I can't even remember. Well, we ended up talking about crazy pets and crazy dogs.
Yeah.
Are you all right there? Yeah. Are you coughing up a cat? and then postmen got in touch and they were there. And then we ended up talking about, I was just wondering, did anyone ever invite postmen or women into the house? And is it weird if you're a postman? Someone says, would you want to come in for a cup of tea?
Well, let's find out. Paul the postman is a postman in Raheny in Dublin. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Dermot, how's things?
Not bad at all. So answer Dermot's question there. Do you ever get invited in anywhere?
All the time. And I actually have a little running date every Thursday and Friday with two old couples every Thursday and Friday.
All right. So you go into their house for a kind of scheduled cup of tea or whatever?
Yeah, I go in every week. We have a coffee and just a little chat for 20 minutes, half an hour, depending on the time issues. Even this morning, now it's lashing rain out here. But this morning I've been invited in 3 times maybe at this stage.
And who's inviting you in?
So I deliver to Dave. Your wife is from Raheny.
She is,
the people of Raheny are fantastic. And anybody's there, like mostly elderly couples. They just want to talk and they say, sorry, you're lashed drowned this morning, like drowned rats walking around, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And do you do it on foot, by the way, or do you do it with the van or the bike, or how do you do it?
We're still on foot.
On foot, okay. Yeah. So you would, I mean, in fairness, out in the wet and the wild of Irish winters, you would be drowned. So is it ever nice to just get indoors for 10 minutes?
Oh, it's great, yeah. We're definitely about it. You don't want to come back out, you know? sometimes you go in and mostly during the summer, you sit at the back garden and stuff and just have a coffee and...
You must feel lovely after that, do you? Like,
it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant. It's no better feeling. It's really, really good. And through COVID, I'm only a spokesperson. Through COVID, I know even in my own office, there's a girl that works beside me. She goes in for coffee in the morning as well to elderly people.
Yeah.
And we're all doing it across Dublin. Every postman and postwoman have done a bit in the last 2 years to do everything for the elderly and for anybody. Because I do messages. Only 3 weeks ago, I went to the Greendale Shopping Centre to get 2 bags of coal for a customer. I'm back in my car, we do it. It's what we do.
Well, that's what I'd say for
Was it smokeless coal now? Because you're not allowed.
I'd say for a lot of the elderly people, in fairness, Paul, you're probably one of the few people that they see or have a chance to have a chat to if they're not out and about themselves or whatever. So it can make a real difference to their week for the time that you spin in.
Sure, even of another elderly man who's on crutches and he's very bad, and his daughter comes out every morning, sits at the window, waits for me. And his daughter came out and said, you know something, you make his day. Every morning, just a wave.
It's just a wave, isn't it?
And when you think about it, you know, the post office itself has either changed a lot or disappeared, depending on where you live. You know, sometimes they're tucked in the back of Centras now and all kinds of things.
It's hard to find them even now at this stage.
Yeah, so a lot of those people probably would have socialised at the post office, but now, essentially, you're bringing the post office to them.
Yeah, well, that's it. Even we pick up letters and stuff from old people that can't make it stuff, and that's part of the thing we do with COVID. We pick up letters and bring them, post them for them. Mm. Stuff. So I think the Friday day to the post office is gone for most people now, you know, unfortunately.
Do you know what I'm hearing, Paul? Do you know what I'm seeing in my mind? You in the new On Post Christmas ad.
Oh my God.
Where it'll be even nicer than a Dermot and Dave. I should look a t-shirt, but that's
aim higher, will you, God's sake. We'll give you a t-shirt.
We'll definitely give you a t-shirt, Paul the postman.
You know, Dermot and Dave, I actually used to be your postman in town on a different radio station. I played golf with you two in Hollystown many times ago.
Was that one of those kind of up the dubs charity things or something?
Yeah.
Do you remember the time Dave hit Dermot with the ball?
Yes, I remember that. It was one of my favourite moments.
I was with Dave on that day. I played with you that day, Dave.
Dermot's four ball said, play through. I said, I will. And I clapped him on the side of the head with the ball.
Play through your head. But look, I can see, can you get some Christmassy music there, Dave?
Because
Paul, we need to create this, because I think there's an opportunity here, and I hope the bosses at Unpost are listening, because there's still time to get this Christmas ad over the line.
Oh, I'm not good looking enough for television.
Paul, we won't hear
of it. You're a gorgeous man. Okay, so here's the scene. Okay, Paul's coming down the road. Do you wear shorts or long pants?
Shorts.
He's coming down. So the snow is falling.
Yeah,
and he's still in his short pants. Close zoom in to his face. He's smiling, looking from side to side. He's loving his job.
Crash zoom into his legs and shorts and then pull back out again.
Big sack of letters like Santa's sack.
Way,
good.
And now you're calling into number 11 and you do the doorbell sound there, Paul.
Bing bong.
And the door opens, oh my God, to reveal little Mrs. O'Reilly. She's just recovered from illness. Would you like to come in, Paul, for a Christmas drink?
Mrs. O'Reilly, as always, I'm on the doorstep. Here we go. In we come.
Okay, come in. Sit down, Paul. You know, if it wasn't for you, I'd be dead.
Straight to the point, Mrs. O'Reilly. And then, she hasn't even put the kettle on.
And then a slow sip of... Paul takes a little sip of his cup of tea and goes, Mrs. O'Reilly, did you put something else in here?
I did, Paul. Sure, it's Christmas.
Zoom out of the house, up above the neighbourhood, on post. Paul makes dreams come true.
Oh my God.
There you go.
Dermot, see me and you being a big partnership in the years coming away.
Paul, just check that wasn't crushed up Actifed you put in the tea. Just make sure. Come here. Paul, you're an absolute legend. Fair play to you and all the other On Post legends doing all the stuff. And thanks, we love what you're doing. Fair play to you.
Even these. Thanks, lads.
All right, all the best. We send you out the t-shirt. Don't worry. Bye.
Sure, look at it. Isn't that it?
Mrs. O'Reilly will be at the Dublin Criminal Court on Tuesday week. The crushed up Actifed caused Paul to drive his postman into a pillar.
Paul was not her first victim. She's been at it for years.
The case has been adjourned till December 25th.
Lads, I can't wait for Dave to come back from his holiday in Mayo with his free lifetime supply of sausages and puddings from the butchers in Lewisburg. I wouldn't insult the butchers to ask them for a lifetime supply. I would just expect it. I wouldn't ask.
Guys, just loading the free sausages into the BMW X5 or whatever.
Actually,
I'm driving.
Yesterday, for the first time in my life, I drove a convertible. My new BMW is a convertible.
You're not a convertible guy.
I'm not. And as soon as I put the roof down, I went, oh God, no, what am I doing? This is terrible. Everyone can see me. But obviously, it was to drive my kids around. They wanted to drive in a convertible. So it was the roof up all the way home. As soon as I got home, they made me put the roof down in the 4 Series convertible. And then I drove around and all their friends were like, just happened to be out in the road. Were like, hi, Anna. Hi, Nina. They're like waving like the queen from the back of the car. Like,
all the neighbours like, the Moors think they're so great. Look at them going up and down the road in their stupid convertible.
It's such a gorgeous convertible. But yeah, I'm not sure if I'll be putting the roof down on my own. Thankfully, it's October, November. So hopefully the weather, I won't be sweating in there.
You won't get to try it out until... Do they give you a new car every month?
Every month is 6 weeks. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm an ambassador. I work for the new car. I mean, I do lovely, great content on my social media. Check it out, guys. Dave to FM. Hashtag BMW ambassador.
Because most of these lads, like the likes of Brezzy and all these lads who get, I think Conor Murray might be an ambassador. A lot of the sports guys are. They tend to have the same car, but you seem to get a new one every few weeks.
So the poor
guy with the car wash across the road here is scratching his head every day. I see, he's from Cuba, lovely guy called Benny, and he's like,
your friend, new car, new, different, yeah. new. Like,
well, you see, here's
don't
the
try
thing.
And keep up, Benny. You'll destroy your brain.
I was not that guy. I was the guy with the same car, okay, new model every year, but the same car effectively for 4 years with two different car brands. And then when I went to BMW and we were chatting about it, I said, like, hang on, don't give me a car for a year. I think this is a better way of doing it. It completes the, like, the content is constantly updated as opposed to, here I am in my very practical car with my four kids and my dog again for a year. You know, like, you're just going to say the same thing all the time. So now I get all different kinds of cars and
Does it ever work? And I don't want to call your ambassadorship into question, yeah. but like, if anyone sees that you or Conor Murray or whoever, a Brezzy, whoever, I don't know why they're the only people I can think of. Okay. I'm sure there's lots of female Ian ambassadors. Murren, I think, is a female.
She is an ambassador, yeah.
Like, if people see somebody, you know, a name, a celeb, driving around in a car, mm-hmm. are they more inclined to go and buy that car?
Do you think car brands are stupid? They would give people free cars for no reason. It absolutely works. And it may not be like, it's not, what's that word they use in the metrics? Like, you might not be able to trace the metric directly back.
This is what you say to them.
Yeah, 100%
is. Look, you can't tell. It's like happiness. Very hard to measure.
What it does is
we can tell because we sell cars.
It ties their brand to whatever that celebrity stands for. Whatever. So, for example, if it's Conor Murray, it's amazing performances from Munster. If it's me, it's like not washing my legs and wearing lap blankets. Like, I don't know why they're with me, but hey, thanks, BMW.
If you don't wash your legs, if you support Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, everybody wants to see him sacked.
Ole in.
Then this is the car for you.
The BMW 4 Series convertible.
If you use Champions League shower gel on the night of big Champions League games,
I did this morning,
thinking that it will work, then this is the car brand for you.
I don't have any Champions League deodorant at the moment.
So who are Man United playing tonight?
Atalanta. At home. I used the shower gel and I had a quick spritz of the eau de toilette, but I don't have any deodorant, so I had to use just...
Well, you're not superstitious about the deodorant. It's just the shower gel, isn't it?
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah, don't be bringing in other elements into it.
We'll find out at 8 o'clock tonight.
Say stuff, that soothes the music.
Say stuff, that soothes the music.
Say stuff, that soothes the music.
Okay, here's how this works. I will play pieces of music to Dermot Whelan. My name's Dave, his name's Dermot. He will do stuff that suit those pieces of music off the top of his head and make us all laugh.
That I hope suit the pieces of music, because let's face it, I have no time to think about anything.
No, you don't. You're straight in. You're ready to go straight in?
Okay, play the first piece of music. Come on, kettle, come on, boil. Come on, I've got to... I don't want to miss a second of my favourite programme. Come on. Oh, yeah. Okay, come on, teabag. Soak up the water, teabag. Come on, hurry up. Come on, the ad break's nearly over. Oh, come on, buddy. Yes, yes. Okay, biscuits, come out of the packet. I'm running back to the couch. Oh, it's fine. I forgot Virgin Media ad breaks are 10 hours long.
Introducing the new Japanese cinema season at the Irish Film Institute. Running all week until November 25th.
What? I'm not Japanese. I'm from Listowel. I'm just on the phone to the brother. How are you?
Are you ready to go further? Are you ready to push your fitness to the max? Do you want to be stronger than ever before? Well, don't bother. Just put up an inspirational post on Instagram every day with a picture of you outside. It's just as good. Hashtag motivation, hashtag get your sweat on, hashtag blessed. Just looking at you there in front of me just makes me realise how strongly I feel about you. I actually love you. You know, at first I thought you were out of my league, but God, now what we have together is so special, and I think it's really going to work.
Oh, thanks, Tony.
Oh, no, no, not you, Mary. I was talking to my new tree wood. Yeah, just got it from a Gurk's. Oh, God, I can't wait to use it. Welcome to a brand new podcast for kids, Jazz Kids. Today we'll learn all about overly complicated time signatures, a 40-minute jazz trumpet solo, and we look inside the darkness of Miles Davis's heroin addiction, only on Jazz Kids. I'd like you all now to start to relax. I'd like you to picture in your mind somewhere really relaxing. That's it, nice deep breath. So imagine maybe you're at the toll bridge, you're at the booth, but your change has dropped down into the passenger footwell. That's it, relax. You're at the NCT Centre, but you've forgotten your registration certificate. Relax. And now picture yourself doing English paper 2 for the Leaving Cert, but you've forgotten to study. That's it, relax.
That's Madonna and Justin Timberlake. That is 4 minutes with Dermot and Dave on Today FM.
See, Madonna was getting a bit of a shade thrown at her for heavily filtering her photos recently.
She was like, nobody ever does that.
Some event she was at, can't remember where it was, but she's there being Madonna,
right?
And apparently, then the original photos came out that weren't heavily filtered. People were like, here. Madonna, she's 63.
Whatever age.
When I'm 63, I'll be filtering the hell out of everything.
I don't know why you're not doing it now, to be honest with you.
It could be easy on people, wouldn't it?
I took a leaf out of your book, Dermot. I was sent, as you remember, the other day by deepsleep.ie.
Yeah.
A weighted blanket.
Yes. And I was laughing because I think it's obviously the heaviest thing we've ever got sent into us.
I don't know how much the postage on that was. But anyway, it is really, really heavy. It was a 10-kilo.
Yeah.
Weighted blanket.
Now, you have scoffed at my praise for weighted blankets in the past. Mostly you've laughed at the fact that since I've mentioned them, I basically just get asked every day,
yeah,
what was that blanket you got?
It's less about whether I think they're good or bad, yeah, and more about the amount that you hate being asked that question. But anyway, I've had 2 nights of it now, and I have solved it. Because after the first night, I wasn't too impressed. Okay, I enjoyed the sensation of the weighted blanketness down on me.
Yeah.
But I'm a man who needs to have my feet out of the duvet.
Oh, yeah.
And it's tough. It's a leg workout.
You got to work for it. Yeah, to get the toes out the ends. Yeah.
So I didn't like that.
I love it. I hate if my feet are cold.
Oh.
So I love the fact that it just presses them into the bed and you don't have to worry about it.
I'm sort of the opposite of you, that when I was younger, when I was about 8, I went downstairs and got ice cubes and put them in my socks one night. That's how hot my feet were. I couldn't cope. Anyway, I learned quickly to turn this to water.
Athlete's foot problem.
The second thing is then the overall temperature regulation was unacceptably high. I couldn't get the right temperature until last night.
Okay.
I figured it out.
Right.
So get into the weighted blanket. I have to do a kind of a sit up and pull the bottom of the weighted blanket up so that my ankles, below my ankles, are free.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. Then I sleep on my side. So I sleep on my side and then I grab the weighted blanket and I expose my buttocks. Obviously I'm wearing boxer shorts. But what I mean is
that's not much better.
That is like the refrigeration element. So the rest of my body is completely weighed down with the weighted blanket, except for...
All right, you're keeping a vent at the back.
And it's like it allows the temperature, the overall body temperature, to be perfect while still experiencing the sensation of being weighed down in the bed. So I think I'm with it now, but it just needs a couple of modifications from my body.
One of the key benefits of the weighted blanket is for people who share a bed with someone who reefs the duvet off you. If you are in a relationship where the person keeps dragging the duvet over to their side, a weighted blanket keeps it down. So it's really hard for them to do that.
Are you putting the weighted blanket down on top of the duvet?
Yeah, that's what you're meant to do. What are you doing? Are you just sleeping underneath it?
Of course.
Well, no, because your one is a super fancy that has a fluffy, almost duvet cover.
Oh, it is like a duvet cover. Oh,
yeah,
yours,
no, mine
isn't.
No, most blankets are just literally that, a thin, boring blanket.
So you put it on top.
You just put it on top of your duvet, so it just presses the duvet into you.
Gotcha.
You got me?
Gotcha. No, mine is super fancy.
Well, look, I think what we learned from this is that At Dave Today FM is the man to annoy about where did you get your weighted blanket? Because I'm done with that conversation.
Dermot and Dave on Today FM. 087-4100-102. You want to get in touch with us today? You want to drop us a text about anything at all? 087-4100-102.
Tom Grennan's got that way of singing that so many singers have. And I blame Lord. Or Lordy.
No, Lord.
Lord. Yeah, Lordy with the Finnish metalers. Lord, that as soon as somebody said blood, I'm listening to my blood. They have that kind of way of singing that sounds like a five-year-old crying to their mammies and they can't pronounce their words properly. You know what I'm saying, Carl?
Lewis Capaldi,
just a little bit of it, but he's not too bad. He doesn't say blood, but it's like I'm singing like this and I got a sore finger. Loads of singers sing like that now.
Yeah, but it's an artistic style of the moment and people lean into it because it's popular and then that's...
I know, but they're just... it's all copying. They never sang like that.
There were so many lads.
Until they heard someone else on the radio sing like that. So they go, oh, I'm going to actually change my voice to sound like that person.
I said one for the money, a two for the show. Like 50 million. Oh, Cliff Richard made an entire career, Shaken Stevens, of sounding like Elvis. It's a thing. Like, people do it. Whatever's popular, you kind of, you know, narrow in it and add it to your repertoire.
Yeah. You know? It's definitely it's a phase. I'm sure it'll end soon.
Yes, I think it will.
Because someone else, like, I don't know, at least Billie Eilish, she has a very individual style, and now there's obviously Billie Eilish copycats appearing here, there, and everywhere. Yeah. But it's just, it's interesting. I'm not complaining. I love Tom Grennan.
I'm not complaining. Someone says, I'm enjoying Dermot's descent into the cranky old man stage of life. He has so many issues with so many things at the moment. Lads, I'm tuning in from beside a pool in Albufeira in 23 degrees. I'm laughing my face off. I am, says someone, I don't care if Hozier really is Dolly. That's so freaky, that Hozier and Dolly similarity. Some people think I'm a slowed down version of Sonia O'Sullivan, says text. Okay, well, we can't hear you, but okay. Hozier and Dolly, it's not Hozier, it's Mick Flanagan. Actually, there's... no, we can't. Okay. We know something about Hozier's future music direction, but we're not allowed... We don't want to say it in case it ruins the surprise for everyone. We don't want to be there. But we just know something here on the show. Not even like in the industry.
How is this of benefit to people? This is like someone coming in going, oh my God, I just saw the new film that no one has seen. I won't tell you the ending. But it's like those people I met. Remember that? When I went for a walk and I was recording the Munster match?
Oh, yes.
And I was like, just looking at my watch going, I need to get home. I'm going to watch this. Oh, I can't wait to see the match is recorded. And somebody said, oh, did you see the match? And I went, oh, no, don't tell me I'm recording. They went, okay, I won't say anything. But I'll just tell you, you'll be pleased.
And I was like, I hate you forever. You.
Well, then, allow me to channel them and say, I can't say anything about the direction of Hozier's feet, but let me just say this. You'll be pleased. Girls Aloud and Jump for My Love on Today FM. I tell you, Dermot, this DJ and Lark, you know, you think it's easy. The perception is it's like just throw on a few tunes, whatever. Yeah.
He's just hitting play on the playlist and then twiddling knobs that aren't connected to anything.
It's actually a difficult balance to keep everybody happy, because say at a wedding, like I'm doing Maria, our producer's wedding shortly, like, I know that her parents are going to be there. I know that their, you know, brothers and sisters, her aunts and uncles are going to be there. I know that her 3-year-old son, Rian, is going to be there. So it's not like if you went to a club or you went to a Today FM event with all adults, you go, well, I'm going to bang out these tunes. I'm kind of going, I need a bit of ABBA, but I also need Crazy Frog. You know what I mean? Like, it's a difficult thing to balance
this. As long as there's no Baby Shark. Oh, well, that would cause a giant walkout.
You know that Rian is going to insist on Baby Shark.
Well,
Rian's the boss, Dermot. I don't know why you don't understand this. He is the boss.
Sure, look at it. Isn't that it?
The S is OT. That's what we're trying to solve. It's worth €850 today. Sinead is in Dublin. Hello, Sinead.
Hi.
I like the sound of your guess. What is it?
My guess is the sesh is on tonight.
The sesh is on tonight.
Here's a nice sesh. Are you going for one?
Well, I was out for pints last night with my little sister. Oh, right. In her first year of college, so I'm trying to, you know, introduce her to Dublin life.
Oh, college pints. There's nothing like them, in fairness.
I'm taken out by the big sis as well. I guess you were paying, were you?
No, actually.
Yeah, she's a wealthy student.
You're forgetting your role as the big sister. You know, when you come up to college, you rely on the siblings to look after
you. Yeah. Well, I bought her the pizza earlier on, so it wasn't so bad.
Ah, there you go.
And where are you guys from?
We're from Meath.
From Meath, right, okay.
Yeah, and
she's settling in okay?
Yeah, not too bad.
Good. Glad to hear it.
I don't know, you might remember you were talking to Durin a week or two ago from Ranelagh. She's my housemate. She's sitting behind me now as well.
Oh, right. Yeah. Hi, Durin.
She's trying to win our money as well.
Yeah, we're desperate for this SSOC.
Okay, well, let's see if we can get the house rent paid anyway.
Well, I thought rent. They're gone on the sesh. What are you talking about? That's where the money's gone. Okay, Sinead, go on. The sesh is on tonight. Is that worth €850?
No.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Nice to talk to you, Sinead. See ya.
Thanks. Bye.
Dan is also in Dublin. Hiya, Dan.
Yeah, I'll take it, man.
Sure, look it. Isn't that it?
Dan, you just won a bright yellow Dermot and Dave today. FM Asher, look it. Isn't that a t-shirt? Well done.
Perfect.
Nice one. Oh, man. Where will you be parading this now? What do you do for a living?
I actually work in a bank.
In a bank, you're unlikely that you could wear.
In there. Yeah.
You couldn't really wear the Asher, look it t-shirt if you're.
No, I'll wear the whole lot, you know.
Yeah, well, that's where she should wear it, in fairness. You shouldn't wear it out in public.
The old banks are changing, aren't they? In terms of what the branches look like and all that kind of stuff. Do you deal with the public or are you in HQ?
No, I'm in HQ.
Okay.
I'm back locked away from the public.
They don't trust you with the people.
No, exactly. Dan, the SSOT, €850. What do you think?
The socket is over there.
The socket is over there. No,
sorry, Dan.
No.
All right, send you the t-shirt. Have a good day.
Cheers, Dan. Thanks.
Bye.
And Paul is in Carlow. Hello, Paul.
How's it going, lads? How's it going?
Very well. Keeping? Yeah, all good in here. Anything exciting planned? Were you watching the soccer last night?
I was indeed. I was kind of hoping that United would have lost and he got sacked. But listen, Ronaldo pulled out the bag again for us.
He did. So you wanted United to lose so that Ole would get sacked?
In a terrible way, I did, because they're just playing crap football at the moment and I think you need a better change. But listen, as I said, Ronaldo, 36 years of age, did it again for us, but I just don't know how long he's going to keep doing it for us.
He'll keep doing it for as long as we need him. Don't you worry about that. No fears about Ronaldo. It's everyone else around him I'm more worried about. Paul, the SSOT, what do you think?
The striker is on target.
Yes, he was. Bullet header. Neck muscles to beat the band. Paul, you're wrong, I'm afraid.
No bother at all.
You're also wrong about Ole. Give Ole time, okay? Give him the L in the end of the season.
Hopefully, see what happens. Like, you know what I mean? But if you don't turn results around and we don't beat Liverpool on Sunday, it's going to be hard for
us. I'm just going to ask you, what are your predictions for Sunday against Liverpool?
I'd say United will beat them, just because Gary Neville keeps calling the odd bunch. I'd say United will probably beat them easily, but then the week after that, they probably lose again. So it's just a different
right,
consistency.
Okay, yeah, it'll be a tough one.
If they're going to get rid of Ole, you'd have to imagine it would have to be kind of Christmas, wouldn't it? And so you start again.
I said around Christmas time, just to get like fresh new year going. But.
Well, the Glazers are not in the business of, you know, losing money. Anyone they bring in is going to cost a lot more than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer costs, because like we said before, he comes in with no experience. He's a very cheap option. But if you bring in Antonio Conte or Zinedine Zidane, you're paying 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 times as much for those managers. So,
I still don't think Zidane or Conte is the United.
Who would you want then?
I don't know. I honestly don't know who's out there at the moment. The man off Ajax. Ten Hag.
Yeah.
Fantastic manager.
Henry Shefflin.
Henry Shefflin, he's busy with Cali now.
He is. Davy Fitz
is knocking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually,
take Davy, not bother at
all. Absolutely. Paul, come here, have a great day and enjoy the match on Sunday.
Thanks,
see you later.
Bye.
As a DJ, weddings are the worst, says an anonymous DJ text who's texted into us. The pressure is excruciating. You're single handedly in charge of the crack. The sweat rolling down your face when you put on a song that evacuates the dance floor. Man, I had that in a nightclub in Mullingar called The Fence. I started off, I was absolutely killing it. Like the dance floor was heaving and the boss man was over going, "This is one of the best reactions we've had." I was like, "Yeah." And then I put on, "I'm too sexy for my land, too sexy for whatever." And I was like, they're going to love this. Everyone just disappeared. Just gone. Literally gone. And I was like, he's looking at me going, "They're 19. I was like, "Okay, here's Dua Lipa." And they're all back at, yeah. I was like, "Okay, know your audience.
We still have had a massive reaction to our ADHD conversation there before 10 o'clock. Erin and Meath has been on. She says, such a good point on how we're trying to mould children and young adults into an education system that just doesn't work for all of them. My son is autistic and could spell at age 3. In senior infants, he forgot how to do it because he was being forced to relearn the skill in a way that confused him. We're all different, says Erin. We need to take the words deficit and disorder out of the diagnosis. That's two very negative terms in a condition that could impact how a child feels about themselves. My teen is struggling with self-confidence and belief in himself since starting secondary. And I know the term ADHD is adding to this.
That's a good point. And even for adults, as we said, like both Ken and Mairead, who were in with us, both talked about the fact that adults are often reluctant to get or seek or accept a diagnosis because they have negative connotations associated with the words disorder and deficit. Like, yeah, it makes total sense. So a bit of a rebranding of that would help people, I think.
I loved Mairead's way of calling it, that it's a lens and that, you know, she looks at herself and would like other people to look at her through that lens because, you know, she doesn't fit in or necessarily into the same routines and structures that maybe the majority do. And that's just a nice way of looking at it. Like, it's just a different lens that you do everything through.
What a tune, lads. Backstreet Boys, everybody. Backstreet's back. Dermot and Dave on Today FM. Another one I might have to play at Maria's wedding. We'll talk about that later.
Is it just going to be all cheese at Maria's wedding?
No, I'll be honest with you.
Where are the crackers? Have you got crackers in there?
Well, actually, someone has suggested that maybe we do a wedding cheese and a wedding cracker today for cheese and crackers. So what would be your ultimate wedding cracker to hear? What would be my ultimate wedding cheese to hear? Put them up against each other at 11:30.
Yes, for a what wedding?
Well, no, I don't think wedding themed. I mean, the song you would hear at a wedding.
There are few and far between. Once you go past Billy Idol, there's very few other wedding songs.
Okay, well, anyway, let's think about that later on the show. But now let's say hello to one of the finest humans that's ever lived. Her name is Noni, and she sells chocolate out of a pram in Limerick.
It's pronounced chocolate.
Well, you pronounce it chocolate, Noni, but I'm not from Limerick.
That's why it's pronounced chocolate.
Well, no, you just do it because you're trying to be posh.
Excuse me.
I don't have to try. I just am posh.
I am not posh. We were very working class growing up now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my father was an underwater tour guide in the Shannon Estuary. He only lasted one day at work.
And your mother?
My mother, she worked in a fresh air factory.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
To earn loans. But now you see.
She opened the window and it all flew out.
Now you're minted because you've got this new book coming out.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Noni and the Great Chocolate Mystery.
That's it, yeah. And it's about, I tell you what it's about. It's only 1 week to go. And the book is about me and my two little helpers, Sean and Emma. They're 12 and 10. And we go on a big adventure because someone has poisoned the city's chocolate source. And we have to find out who done it.
My goodness.
Is it Marguerite Shannon? Is it her?
I don't know. You just have a thing about Marguerite Shannon. She's your arch enemy.
She's a wagon.
Come here. I must thank you because there are three people who got to give a quote for the back of your book, and I'm one of them.
You're on the back of the book.
I'm very proud of that.
I know. Lucy Kennedy said no, so you got on. They said, we need to fill the space. Who do you know, quick? I said, I know your man, Dave Moore, above in Today FM. He'll do it. He'll do anything. You should see what he's doing to get a free BMW. We couldn't even print it.
Well, actually, I should say, if you want a free bar of Noni's exclusive chocolate, if you pre-order the book now at Eason's.com, you can get a free bar of Noni's chocolate. Isn't that right, Noni?
That's right,
yeah. I'll do anything for it, Noni. But there's two other people who've given you quotes on the back of the book.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. On the back, when you look at the back now, you see a quote from little Conor Murray and little Keith Earls.
Wow.
They're on the book.
They really are.
They're absolutely, they're not made up. It's them. They said it. If anyone says otherwise, I'll beat you. And listen, isn't there great news about young Simon Zebo coming back and he's going to be wearing a green shirt again?
That's true.
I think all is right with the world.
Great news.
So I think it's perfectly fitting that because Halloween is upon us and Zeeves is back and little Conor Murray and little Keith Earls are on the book out next week.
Pre-order for free driver.
We should have the little Conor Murray, little Keith Earls Halloween tale.
Whoa, there's magic in the air. Can you feel it?
I can feel something.
Actually, it's just diesel fumes. It's all right in the van. But listen,
I'm going to tell you a story of Halloween, all right?
Nice.
It was Halloween night in Limerick. Spooky screams could be heard, and there was danger in the air. So just another normal night in Limerick, really, Dion. Gangs of menacing-looking children called door-to-door, threatening tricks in exchange for treats. So again, just another normal night in Limerick, you know. Two little boys in particular were making their way around the town. Little Connor Murray and little Kate Earls.
Yes.
They were from Munster and they were very excited to be trick-or-treating and put in a creepy disguise.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. They were dressed up in something disgusting that no one would ever be seen dead in.
What?
Connacht jerseys. As the two best friends were strolling along, they walked by Thomond Park.
Yeah.
And suddenly, a ghost appears.
What a terrifying ghost.
I'm the ghost of Simon Zebo. Je suis le ghost de Simon Zebo. Watch out, shouted little Connor Murray. He's bilingual. A boy and a kid, said Keith Earls. Because he was afraid of nothing, because he was from my ras. I've come to steal your souls and take them back to France, said Zebo. Because I've no friends over there, and all the French are ghouls. Don't you mean ghouls? Asked little Connor Murray. Shut your face, said Zeebs. And he tried to rob their souls. But Earlsy was too quick, and he ran around him so fast, Zeebo became dizzy. His rich French diet meant he was too full of blue cheese and fags. The fight was on. Earlsy dropped the shoulder and then the hand. And Zeebo was terrified. He'd had enough. Ah, cried Zeebo as he faded away over the stands at Thomond Park. And little Connor Murray and little Earlsy went door to door, collecting all kinds of goodies and had the best night ever. What did you get, Connor? Asked Earlsy. Oh, I got sweets, crisps, and so much chocolate. What did you get, Earlsy? Well, I got flat-screen TVs, laptops, and handbags. Well, I am from Moyross after all. Happy Halloween!
Dermot and Dave on Today FM, Jesse J and Domino. When myself and my wife got married, we had the DJ play Slipknot's Before I Forget and their song Duality. And strangely enough, we're still married. Lol from Anto and Escorty. Yeah, love you, Jenny.
That's okay. If it's a special request, you know, by the bride and groom, then everyone's like, oh, this is their favorite thing. Or if it's their dance. But if it's just in the middle of the crowd pleasing, you know, woohoo, you can't just drop in Slipknot. Seriously, Dave.
You're giving me ideas now. We played Never Forget by Take That for our final wedding song. It was brilliant. Everyone on the dance floor doing the clap thing that Take That does, as Karen and Kildare. Well, actually, Karen, the last song of my DJ set currently is Take That's Never Forget. But I'm also toying with
Rock the Boat.
No. Emer like this one. All These Things I've Done. Is that the Killers?
Oh, yeah.
Killers, yeah. I got so, but I'm not. It's a classic wedding finisher as well. So I've got a
finisher.
Couple of them. Oh, yeah, finishers. Yeah, you got to have a wedding finisher.
Mania 2000.
Yeah. Well, you see, don't forget.
You, see, you guys happening? Are obviously not cultures. The national anthem.
No, you don't understand. I'm finishing DJing, but then I'm also hitting play on a playlist for Maria's wedding to take us through the night. And
you
don't
lazy.
Worry, the national anthem. What? After 3 hours of DJing, I have to keep going for more.
Yeah.
2000.
Don't you? Have you never been to a wedding? This is your chance, Dave, to put the extension on your house. Because you play away and then you stop. And then some drunk uncle comes up and gives you an envelope full of cash and said, keep going till 2:30. And you go, okay. And then at 2:30, they come up with a bigger envelope and go, keep going till 4:30. That's how
well,
it works.
If there's anyone there with a bit of money, I'll be turning the turntables off after 15 minutes to give you some money. Let's say hello to Hannah Mulcrone, who's in Castlebar in County Mayo. Hello, Hannah.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm not too bad,
Hannah,
now.
What's your favourite song to dance to at a wedding?
Just that last thing you said, I got so, but I'm not a soldier.
Yeah.
My cousin got married last year, and that was good when everyone was out on the dance floor.
Okay, what about you, yeah. Seamus, who's in Meath today?
Hi, Dave. I suppose my favourite floor one would be Top Loader, Dancing in the Moonlight.
Oh, that's a tune. That's
oh,
a good tune.
And that's kind of a good song, because that's one that you can get granny up to as well. Like, it's not too fast. no offensive lyrics. You know, you couldn't, can't drag Granny up for Rage Against the Machine.
No,
you know?
God, no.
You might kill Granny.
Hannah and Seamus, you're playing for 1,000 euros worth of Circle K Miles Plus fuel, K coffee and K freeze. You got to get your laughing gear on because we want you to laugh for 1 minute. We'll put 1 minute on the clock. You must be laughing when you're not answering, or the only time you're not allowed to laugh, I should say, is when you're not when you're answering a question. Jesus, I'm making it more complicated than it needs to be. You're not just laugh.
Not doing any of the speeches anyway.
No, I'm definitely not. No.
Okay. This is the bride and groom. The bride and groom.
Hannah and Seamus, start laughing now.
Okay, Hannah, who is the newest manager of the Galway Hurlers?
Oh, pass, I don't know.
Keep laughing, Seamus. It's Henry Shefflin.
Seamus, Tig Furlong and Keane Healy play rugby for which province?
Leinster.
Yeah.
Hannah, Bern is the capital of which country?
Hannah, that's for you.
You don't know. It's Switzerland.
Seamus, what country is Budapest in?
Hungry.
Yeah.
Keep laughing, both of you.
Come on, Seamus, get more laughing out.
Thomas Shelby features in which TV show? Anna?
Jeremy Clarkson's Farm.
No. Thomas Shelby. Peaky Blinders.
Amazing.
Peaky Blinders.
Walter White, Seamus, was the main character in which TV show? Breaking Bad is the answer there.
What is Monterey Jack, Hannah?
Whiskey.
No, it's a cheese.
We don't even need to ask Seamus the question because he managed to get two right. Seamus, you're the winner. Seamus, you were close to being disqualified there for a bit of laughter, and then you brought it back with a witch's cackle, and we were delighted. So fair play to you.
Oh, Hannah, I'm so disappointed. Okay. Not only that you lost, but also that Thomas Shelby doesn't present Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, I thought
you said
Jeremy Clarkson.
No, who's what TV show? Jeremy Clarkson. Oh, Jeremy Clarkson's Firm. Yes.
All right. You win £1,000 offer.
Come here, Seamus. Congratulations, Hannah. Hard luck. Have a great day.
Okay. Thanks.
See you.
Bye.
Seamus, you'll be going into every Circle K around the place now like a king. Fair play to you.
We could have a problem now because I can't stop laughing. I got
All right, Seamus, have a great day.
Thanks, guys.
See you later. Bye bye. Seamus wins €1,000 worth of Circle K Moz plus fuel, K coffee, and K freeze. We'll have another one to give away again tomorrow.
All right, we're going to phone a friend by order of the Peaky Blinders.
Listen back to more from the Dermot and Dave Show on todayfm.com.
Dermot and Dave.
Weekday mornings from 9 on Today FM.